Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message. Wow. Hey, everyone. Before we crack open our Bibles, probably better look at the time here. I wanted to just start by praying for Mike and Jane and Joe. Monique unfortunately can't be here because one of the kids is unwell. But where's Jane? You could just come up if you guys could just stand. I feel like God put a word on my heart for you guys as well. Andrew and Jill, if you could come and just stand with us as well. We came on the 1st of March and we had an interest night, and there were 30 people who were there, and there were 20 people out of those 30 that said, you know, we feel that we're not really connected with the church, and we feel that we want to go on this journey. And so Mike and Jane, who Pastor Corey has a long relationship with, and Joe and Monique, Livs and I have known for the last 10 or 12 years, God had spoken to them about being a part of the team, and so they faithfully have led life groups in the beginning and then really carried the weight of all that God has done over the last 10 months. We returned on the 2nd of March to Melbourne, and Livs goes to the grocery store, and she's like, hey, there's no toilet paper. What's going on? People are freaking out. Is there something on the news I don't know about? So obviously, all the chaos is unleashed around the world, and we can't come back. And you guys have faithfully really carried all that God has wanted to do. I mean, we're here, and it's an absolute miracle. I mean, when you go, you show up at a place to plant a church, and the very first gathering you come to, and there's a crowd of people who are already walking in covenant family and relationship with one another, who have been doing life together and meeting together, praying together. We've had this amazing team of intercessors that we've been meeting weekly to pray on Zoom. And to be able to come into this, it's a miracle. And the first night that we were here, that night, the 1st of March, we made this declaration, Jesus, you are the one who builds your church. And we didn't know the degree to which we would need to rely upon that confession. And it continued to be our confession. And, you know, Andrew had this word about the church being like a baby in the womb. And that really ministered and spoke to us, because when a child is conceived, as parents, what do? You just wait. There's nothing you can do. God is knitting that child together and causing the growth, and that's exactly what he's done here. But that has been made possible through what God has done through you guys. And I felt that God put this word in my heart to share with you, and just want to pray over you as well. The disciples are really struggling with this high bar that Jesus is setting of entering the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler walks away, and they're like, you know, Jesus is saying, talking about how hard it is to enter the kingdom. They're like, well, how can anybody be saved? And they're declaring their own devotion to him. And then Jesus responds and says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. We don't really like to include that bit, but it's in there. and in the age to come, eternal life. And I felt like the Lord, as I was just thinking through this moment, I felt like the Lord say that there is like almost like it's a blank check. And I want to be careful here because nothing we do earns the right for us to have our prayers answered. We don't come to Jesus expecting answered prayers because we've done this, 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 or this. We come to him on the basis of the finished work of Christ and on his promises. But yet there is a promise from Jesus that when we lay down our lives for him and for the gospel, when we selflessly sacrifice, give up other things, and sow into the kingdom, he gives back 100-fold. And I believe God is saying to you that there are things that you have believed for and stood for and asked for and cried out for. And I just see you're coming into a season where there is no prayer that he will not answer. It's like there has been more banked up than what you've than what's been withdrawn. That, and the Lord is saying it's time for you to ask. It's time for you to ask big. In fact, there's almost this sense of there being a blank check where you need to really think, what am I going to ask the Lord for here? Who am I believing for? What am I trusting him for? Because there's a 100-fold return coming for all that you've sown over this last season. I even just see generational blessing breaking loose in your family. I see it over your children. I see it over the generations. Even as Liz was speaking before, there is generational blessing that is flowing out of this season. The generations will be different because of the degree to which you've laid down your lives for the gospel. Father, I'm asking you to bring about great fruitfulness in their lives. I believe we're only just seeing the beginning. But God, we thank you for them and all that they've sown. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Give these guys a hand. Wow. At some point I'll share the story with you of how God spoke to us about moving here. And, you know, when Pastor Corey and Simone asked us to make this move and to pray about launching this church and leading this church, obviously our first thought is we have 6 kids and a couple of them are in high school, and how are we going to go back to them, and how is this going to all play out, and how are they going to feel about this? But it's been obviously really amazing to see how God's brought them on this journey and spoken to them as well, and even used them to help confirm his calling upon our lives in this. But when we went back to Pastor Corey and Simone and the other rest of the executive team and said that God did in fact speak to us about moving here to launch this church, they prayed over us after that. We shared with them that yes, we're all in. They prayed over us, and one of the prophetic words that Corey had in that moment was that God was going to give me 2 years worth of sermons from the first 5 books of Joshua, which was, I thought, was really interesting. No pressure there. Now, I don't believe that necessarily means we're going to be preaching out of Joshua every week. But what I think it does speak to is the significance of the first 2 years of the life of our church in what God wants to do in the third year of Pneuma Perth's life. When you look at the first 5 books of Joshua, it's the preparation. The foundation is being laid. The preparation for taking for God's people going in to possess their promise. It's in Joshua chapter 6 that they take Jericho. And so the first 5 chapters are significant in the preparation of that, and I believe that over the next couple of years, at different times, different ways, God's going to speak to us very clearly. And when I was obviously reading through and studying the first 5 chapters of Joshua for insights into, in fact, God, what God might want to say to us, What stood out the most in this season, what was most prominent, was the last three verses of Joshua chapter 5. So if you want to open up your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. Flip on your phone, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to read Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 as well. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, speaking of the wise men from the east, it says, "Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." If you want a title for this message tonight, we're going to call it "The Commander in the Cradle." Commander in the Cradle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you've already revealed yourself to us tonight as we've worshiped you. Father, I pray for your help as we open up your word. God, I believe that we can have an encounter with you through your word that is every bit as powerful as the encounter we can have with you as we sing and as we worship. So, Father, I'm asking you to speak very clearly. I'm asking you to open our eyes. Lord, speak what is important for us to see as a church as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've read the Old Testament, you know the story of Joshua. He grew up in Egypt. He was a part of the company of people that left Egypt. He would have crossed the Red Sea, seen the miracles that were done. He was one of the 12 spies that went into the Promised Land. He was one of only two that came back with a good report. He began to be groomed as Moses' apprentice. He wandered around in the wilderness with everyone else for those years. And now this moment comes when Moses dies, and it's Joshua's time to take over. And they've crossed the Jordan River. He sent his own spies into Jericho, and now they're preparing for their attack. And here's this moment where Joshua is about to go in, and they're about to take this city, Jericho. They knew that was the first city that they've got to take. And so he goes on his own little private reconnaissance mission. I can imagine he's walking around, he's checking it out, he's maybe asking God, "How are we going to do this?" And all of a sudden he stumbles upon this man. And I think it's important at the outset to, before we break down what God was saying to Joshua here, to really answer the question, who was this man that Joshua encountered? I'm going to get to the punchline for the sake of time. This man was Jesus. Now you might say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought Christmas didn't come for another 1,500 years. I thought, Jesus wasn't born until this Bethlehem and the whole story." But what we have to remember is that this Jesus who was born and placed in this manger, this feeding trough, was actually the eternal Son of God who had always been. And he was the one who for all eternity past and from the moment of creation, the Logos, the Word of God, who was the one who would embody the very nature and character of God, who would reveal God. And so here's this man showing up to speak to Joshua. And we know that because of Joshua's response. He falls down and worships him. And then what does the man do and how does he respond? Every other time in Scripture when an angel or a man is worshiped, what do? No. Get up. The angel, Revelation 19, I think it is, when John tries to worship this angel, what does the angel say? Get up. When Paul and Barnabas are worshiped in Lystra, they think he's Zeus and Hermes. And what do they say? Get up. Don't worship us. But in this moment, this man, what does he do? He receives Joshua's worship. Joshua in this moment meets the pre-incarnate Christ. And something powerful happened in this moment. There was something that changed him and prepared him for what they were going into next. There was a revelation he needed to have that would carry him and take him into leading this people and all the people to be able to go in and take their promise. Something powerful happens when you encounter Jesus. I can remember the first time I really had an encounter with Jesus, the morning I was born again. I was in the mid-90s. I was kind of in this whole neo-hippie kind of drug culture where all of a sudden again, it was like we all wished we could go back to the 1960s. And it was cool to be a hippie again. And we know we'd follow the bands around and all everything else that goes with that. And I have many more stories to tell, but there's not enough time tonight. But I was at this party one night, and we're doing all these things we should not have been doing. Sometimes when my kids aren't around, I might go into more detail. But I wake up that next morning, and I'm alone in my bedroom. Years ago, I had been a part of church. There were seeds in my soul and my heart that were dormant. And something came alive inside of me. It was like God showed up in the room that morning. And he pulled back the veil of my heart. And for the first time, I was seeing what the root and the cause of all of my turmoil was in my soul. Why I would lay my head on the pillow at night and take hours to go to sleep with my mind racing. And I started thinking about the night before, and what stood out to me was how insecure I felt and how much I cared about what all of my other druggy, hippie, wannabe friends thought about me. And I'd had enough. I could see my insecurity and my this turmoil in my soul. And there were two things that I saw in that moment that changed me forever. The first one was that I had this thought like, okay, I'm never going to stand before my friends to give an account for my life. But I will stand before God to give an account for my life. So it doesn't matter what what my friends think about me. It only matters what God thinks about me. And then the second revelation I had was, I wonder, what do my friends think about me? Do they like me? And, you know, all these insecurities coming up. And then like this revelation, God just loves me. I don't have to do anything to get God to like me. He loves me. And if I will just turn to him, I knew enough about the gospel that if I would believe and trust in him, then he would accept me. And I was changed in that moment. And I only smoked weed two more times after that. But anyway, that's another story. Oh, thanks. When you've been together for 20 years, your wife can read your mind. Thank you. But there were things I saw in that moment that provoked me to fall down in worship before Jesus and lay down my life for him. And there's three things that Joshua hears from Jesus in this passage. And I think these are three things that changed Joshua, that prepared him to go in and take the promise, and three things that we need to hear as well as Pneuma Perth to go in and take the promise that God has for us. I'm actually going to go ahead and give you all three on the front end, then we're going to break them down. Is that okay? Yeah. Here's number one. Joshua saw Jesus' authority. Second, Joshua saw Jesus' divine power to fulfill his promise. And third, Joshua saw Jesus' holiness. And if we see these three things, we can't help but fall down and worship before him. So first off, Joshua saw God's authority. What he essentially heard from Jesus in that moment is, I am in charge now, not you. I am the commander. I am the Lord. I am the one who has the right to expect your complete and total submission to me. But what's interesting is Joshua didn't acknowledge that at first. He didn't see it. He thought Jesus was just a man that he stumbled across. And, you know, I spent many years doing outreach on uni campuses. I graduated from uni in 1997. And a year later, I started a campus ministry at the University of Memphis, where I graduated from, and then spent the next however many years in, you know, working with uni students. And so I would talk to a lot of uni students preaching the gospel on the uni campus. And a lot of these young people, a lot of students would be happy to say, yeah, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a great man. He was probably more enlightened than the rest of us. But he wasn't God. That was a bit of a leap. It's hard for people to come to that place that Jesus is actually God. Because when you go there, when you acknowledge that Jesus is God, then that actually impacts and affects the way that you live your life. You can't say, yeah, Jesus is God, and then just keep living however you want to live. And Joshua's thinking, all right, here's this guy. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. I'm the one God's called to lead this people into the promised land. I need to know what's up with this guy. Does he need to fall in behind me, or do I need to drive my sword through him? Are you with me? Or are you against me? Are you with my enemies? And what does this man say to Joshua? He just says, no. Nope. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. In other words, I'm not on your side. I'm not on your enemy's side. You actually need to get on my side, because I am the commander. You need to fall in behind me. It's not my responsibility to fall in behind you and your leadership over this people. You fall in behind me. It took me months to decide if I actually wanted to follow Jesus. That morning, that moment in my bedroom, there were months before that God was revealing himself to me. I can still remember vivid dreams I had, waking up, my heart racing, and knowing God is speaking to me right now. There was a three-day period where I had this overwhelming sense of joy and peace, and I just thought, man, life is so great. And I heard this voice, and I can still remember where I was that in this moment. I heard this voice, this is what your life can be like if you will serve me. And I woke up the next morning, and it was the same unrest and turmoil in my soul that I'd had before the three-day period of peace and joy. I mean, I would have happily followed Jesus if I thought I could have gotten him on my side. But the reason why I wasn't responding was because I was counting the cost. I knew what it was going to mean for me to serve Jesus, because I can't continue smoking weed. I can't continue, you know, with this over-concern of what my friends think about me. I actually will have to submit my life to him, because he is the Lord. He is the commander. And to follow Jesus, we have to do that. And this submission to the lordship of Jesus thing is not just something you do one time and like, all right, I'm good now. Have you ever experienced like that? This happens in life. We always have to keep the lordship of Jesus is being challenged. I'm calling you to Perth. Now, actually, since being here, Perth is actually a really great place. I'm loving Perth. Perth's incredible. I don't know what all you crazy people wanting to move to Melbourne are thinking. I don't know why people are leaving Perth to go to Melbourne. Perth's amazing. But there's a cost. There's always a cost. The first thing I thought when Pastor Corey says, do you want to move to Perth. Will you move to Perth and plant Pneuma Perth? Should have been there. You heard what Livia said. How you feeling, Livs? She's like, well, I'm pretty disappointed, actually. I thought you were going to ask us to do something else. There was something else I had in mind we were going to do. But something amazing began to happen over the next week. But there was still this counting the cost, like, are we really going to do this? Am I going to go to my teenage kids and say, yeah, I told you, Sophie, that this was the school you were going to graduate from, but actually, we're moving again. I had to count the cost. And every one of us following Jesus come to these moments over and over and over again of counting the cost. Do you want to follow me still? Am I still the commander? Or do you want to take over control again? That was the first insight that caused him to fall down and worship. Second, Joshua saw God's divine power to fulfill his promise. In other words, Jesus said to him in that moment, you're living for my purpose now, not for yours. You thought you were the commander. Actually, I'm the commander. And I love this phrase, now I have come. Now I'm here. I'm not on your side. I'm not on your enemy's side. I'm calling you to be on my side, to live for my purpose, and let me fight this battle. It's a pretty daunting thing to move to a city and pick up and, you know, the thought of starting a church. You know how much fear there is that you have to battle? Can I just have a moment of vulnerability? Even then, coming in tonight, like, what if I say something stupid? What if they don't like me? Like, all these crazy thoughts that go through your mind. What if people don't show up? What if, you know, all these crazy things that go through your mind. And then Jesus keeps bringing you back to, well, is this about you or is this about me? What's this really about? Are you trying to get me to fight your battle? Or are you coming along to let me fight this battle through you? But it's something we have to keep coming back to. I can remember the first time being a brand new baby Christian and my first ever prophetic word. And I can only remember like one thing that was said, like one word out of the whole thing. But I do remember coming home and I was 21. I still lived with my mom at that point. I was freeloading at that point. still living at home. And I came home and my mom was obviously really excited that I was serving Jesus now. And I was just talking with excitement this prophetic word. And I think I even remember telling her, I don't remember much about it, but it just feels like God has this great purpose in calling and destiny over my life, that there's something great he's called me to do. And that was the first time I was awakened to this sense of calling and purpose, that when you follow Jesus, we don't just lay our lives down for him, but for his gospel, that there's a great purpose that he calls us to live for. It was like this thing of whatever I was planning to do with my life before, that's now out. Now Jesus has something new for me to do, something that's actually not new for him, but it's new for me. It was the thing that he had always been calling me and planning for me to do. But when we have this revelation, now I am here. God is with us. That as we begin to live this purpose, because it's his purpose, and he is all-powerful, and his success is guaranteed, when we jump on board with God's purpose, what does that mean for us? Our success is guaranteed. Because it's not about us. It's about him. We're not here to make the name of Pneuma Church great. We're not here to build the brand. We're not here to shout the praises of the name of the senior pastor. It's not, hey, Jason and Olivia are here. It's Jesus saying, now I am here. And I'm calling you to fall in line with my purpose and my destiny for your life. It's greater than you could ever imagine. There's something he's called you to that is greater than you've ever even fathomed before. The thought that we would get to come to Perth. Here's what's crazy, all right? So Jesus speaks so clearly. We have never been more certain about anything in our lives than him calling us to plant and lead Pneuma Perth. Never have we been more clear about anything. And what's crazy is that Pastor Corey knew it before I knew it. And what's crazy is that just 2 weeks before I knew it, I had no clue. So I go from just going about my business, living my life in Melbourne, and then 2 weeks later, I am certain and have absolute clarity that my whole life up to this point has been preparation for planting this church in Perth. How crazy is that? That you can have that level of clarity and conviction that God can speak that clearly. And I believe that that is an anointing over this church and over our what's going to become a movement of churches as we have a vision to plant 200 new churches all across the world. Not all of them out of Perth, but some of them. We'll let Pastor Corey plant a few out of Melbourne. But if that's true, there's a calling upon our church to plant churches. Because you don't plant 200 churches out of one church. You plant church planting churches. And on the morning that God spoke to me about, yes, I'm calling you to Perth, he gave me this really clear phrase that will forever guide and bring focus to who we are and what, why we exist and what we're for. He said, I am not calling you to just minister to crowds. I'm calling you to make disciples, to train leaders, and to plant churches. That is why we exist. If you don't want to be a disciple and make disciples, if you don't want to be a part of training leaders and a part of a church planting churches, then Pneuma Perth is not for you. Because that is what God has called us to do. And so what that means for us is the measure of success will never be the number of bums that are in a seat on a service. We're going to gather. We're going to have powerful times of worship. We're going to preach the word. We're going to encounter God and be changed. We're going to have people from Melbourne come in and preach. We're going to have prophetic ministers come in and prophesy. But the most important thing that we do as the church will never be Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, actually. Because there's a whole lot more important things that have to be done out there in what we do in here. The measure of our success is how many disciples are being made. And we know disciples are being made when people are making disciples. It's not my job to disciple all of you. It's not Olivia's job. What does Ephesians chapter 4 say? That he gives gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of God's people for works of ministry. If you're a Christian, you're called to make disciples. And the most important thing that we ever do as a church will be to make disciples. A part of making disciples is training leaders. If you're a Christian, you're called to lead. You're called to influence. Because you're called to make disciples. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing for people, if you're not making a disciple, are you really following Jesus? Because he says, if you're following me, you're making disciples. And so this is the purpose that God has called us to. Make disciples, train leaders. And because Jesus is building his church, the natural overflow of that will be, we'll multiply. We'll plant more churches. We caught up with Steve McCracken for a lunch. He's a prophetic minister. And one of the things he spoke over our church and over us was that he said, I see three churches, three locations as like an initial phase one of multiplication of our church. Who knows? As I've dreamt about that, I thought maybe one central, one north, one south in Perth. And that's just the start. But that could be years away. We know that the next 2 years is Joshua 1 through 5. Preparing to go in and take our promise. Finally, the third thing Jesus says to Joshua, or what Joshua saw, he saw God's holiness. He saw his holiness. He said, I am holy and I'm calling you to be holy. Joshua finally realizes who this man is. He falls down on his face and he says, what does my Lord say to his servant? And what does this man say? The same thing he said to Moses. Take off your shoes. The place where you're standing is holy. What does that mean? What did he mean by that? Take off your shoes. When you take off your shoes, it puts you in a very humble and vulnerable place. I'm reminded of the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard. And that moment where he's barefoot running across the glass and he's in the bathroom picking the glass out. Well, anyway, we probably won't go too far into that description. But when you're a warrior and you don't have shoes on, you're taking off what is crucial to your victory. When you think it's all up to me. And so what he's saying here is, I want you to recognize my holiness. I want you to put yourself in a place of humility and vulnerability and know that I'm taking you to a place you could never get to on your own, no matter how hard you tried. What I have for you to do is so far beyond you that you're going to need to completely empty yourself, die to yourself, be as vulnerable as you can, and don't try to do it in your own strength. And so our response to his holiness is to recognize our complete and total dependence upon him. He is holy. I am not. God was saying to Joshua, don't try to fight this battle on your own. John, do you want to come back up? Because I just want to have a time of worship as we respond to this word. I think that what Jesus wants to say to us in this moment is, now I have come. And I think as a church, we're going to step into a new revelation of his authority. And with that comes a recognition of our authority in him, a new revelation of his purpose and calling over our lives, and a new revelation of his holiness. I want us to come into this Christmas season with this same revelation. And this is what I believe those wise men from the East saw. They saw his holiness. They saw his divine purpose. They saw his authority. And let's respond.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.